are part of a financial budget, they would look like this in order of priority for most American citizens: lifestyle spending, taxes, debt, savings, God, in that order. That is, we spend on what we want to spend on first, then we spend on what we have to spend on, and then if there's anything left, we save it or we give it charitably. Really, that is the complete opposite of a good steward of what God has placed into our hands. You should really turn it over. God first, because we want to give to God. Second, savings. Third, debt. Fourth, taxes. And then, if there's anything left, lifestyle spending. Here is the financial principle. Number one is just to turn culture around on its head, because God's desire for money is the opposite of what many people use money for. Now, the three wisest decisions that most average citizens should make and could make that would improve them financially are these three that we'll talk about tonight. Number one, which we discussed briefly last week, develop a spending plan. Pay attention to where the money is going. Number two, pay off debts. Number three, put money in savings. Now, you drove here tonight and you already knew all three of the main points that we're going to study in this lesson. But I think all of us will benefit by some of the things that we will see in the Scriptures and practically speaking. And if you don't benefit from what you hear, maybe you will benefit others by what you say in the class tonight. Let's think about, as we were studying last week, talking about developing a spending plan or a budget, we emphasized that there were 8 to 10 items that will be on everybody's budget. You may adjust it up or down depending on whether you are in one stage of life or the other. If you have children at home versus being retired, you will have a different amount budgeted in certain categories. If you have medical expenses, then you will have a different amount in that area than you would if you did not have any debts of that type. But let's talk about, and remember what we talked about last week, these spending areas, just for review. Number one on most people's budget is, after government and God, giving and taxes, net spendable income, housing, food, auto, insurance, clothing, medical, entertainment, and miscellaneous. And depending on how you divide those up, you would also need to have a category for savings, debt, and education. If you're planning to put children through school and they don't have a full scholarship somewhere, then that will probably be something that will be on your budget until they get through with that, unless you intend for them to pay their own way through school. So we were discussing, and I don't want to go through much of that, but I wanted to finish up some practical points on those category areas. We already talked about food, we talked about housing, we talked about autos, but we did not touch on insurance. So I just want to, I have 6 points here that I gathered from different sources about insurance, and you may have something to add about this. But number one, it's essential. Don't say, well, we're just running out of money and something's got to give and we're not going to have health insurance. Well, health insurance is taking a risk. What if there's an accident? What if there's a disease? With the cost of medical procedures and just going to the doctor, but especially if you had to be in the hospital for some days, that you could really put yourself in a hole that would take forever to dig out of if you didn't have insurance. So make it a priority in your budget. Number two, at the least, have major medical policy. If you can't afford the premiums on a better policy, then at least have a major medical that might cost half as much, but it would keep you from that big hole we just talked about if something major were to happen. Number three, when it comes to life insurance, the idea is not to protect from small problems, but from catastrophic ones. Number four, and I'll let you comment on these, but I want to go ahead and give them to you. Number four, we're still talking about, this would be in general, carry higher deductibles and keep enough money in interest-bearing account to cover them. That is, if you raise your deductible to $1,000 or $5,000 on your house, let's say, well, instead of giving them that money and lowering ceiling for your deductible, you can put the same amount of money in savings and earn some money. You might never have to use it, but if you did, then you would have it there. Number five, life insurance should provide for needs, but should not be used as a source of profit. Of course, that's a big market, but generally speaking, that's a poor market to be in from the consumer standpoint versus it's a better market for the insurance company than for the consumer. Glenn Colley said, and I don't pretend to know much about this, but I will just tell you what he said. He recommends term insurance and invest money for retirement. Pay it until it pays out and then have your nest egg having been built up to get you through those latter years. All right, do you have any suggestions on insurance? And some of you who have been down this road and made a careful study or practice of it through the years, do you have any suggestions or ideas you'd like to pass along to the rest of us? Do you disagree with anything in that list or agree with it? Oh, you're exactly right about that. And who planned for April 27? You know, that was a good illustration of how important it is to have. You can be ruined in a 10-minute span. Everything you worked for up to that point in your life can literally be blown across the county. So, all right, let's talk briefly about entertainment and recreation. What would go in this category would be sporting events, health clubs, vacations, and dates. I know that I'm looking at audience of people of various ages and situations. It's important, I think, to make time for your spouse, regardless of what age you are. It may be that it's been 25 years since you took your spouse out on a dinner and a movie kind of a date, but all of us should spend time, but especially when the kids are small and when there are so few times when you actually have quiet without being interrupted, when you can converse, you can talk. So and if you're going to do that, then you're going to have some budget for it. So put that in there. It might not be expensive. The general rule is to at least go out on a date once a month and go overnight somewhere at least once a year, maybe on your anniversary, spend the night in some place that's special. So some marriage counselors would say once a week on your dates, but at the least once a month. And it might be something not so formal. It might just be going and doing something you enjoy doing, having a cup of coffee and a piece of dessert somewhere, but spending time and setting aside that time. It might be going to yard sales or going to a sporting event, but make a budget for it. And also parent-child time. Sometimes it's important if the circus comes to town. You know, our budget is not so tight that we can't say to the kids who see that setting up over here that we want to go to the circus. Well, we don't have that in our budget. Well, have some entertainment money that can be used for something like that. And then vacations. This is a time when vacation industry is really down, but even during this time, especially as it drags on over 5 years, it may be a shorter vacation. It might be a closer to home vacation, but spend time making memories for the kids and letting them see the beauties that God has created around us or the historical events and places to visit so they can be a part of their experience, their education experience as they grow up. Medical. Any comments about entertainment? Let me talk just a minute about medical expenses. Like, I know much about this, but you may have something to say. These are four points that came out of Larry Burkett's book that I've mentioned several times. That's an excellent little book, Financial Guide, Complete Financial Guide for Young Couples. And he says in there, number one, you might disagree with this, one of the ways to reduce your medical budget is stay out of doctor's offices. I think there's some truth to that. I don't mean to say if you're sick, you shouldn't go to if you need a doctor, you should go, or you shouldn't have checkups. But sometimes, what did our grandparents used to do when their kids got a cold? They what? Casserole. Well, you never told anybody you were sick if you knew that was going to be the medicine, right? Well, probably did not go to the doctor as much as, you know, we have to have a doctor's excuse to miss school, so we got to go to the doctor. How long does it take to get over a cold when you go to the doctor and get an antibiotic? About 4 days. How long would you have gotten over it if you just stayed home? about 4 days, and you spent that $50 deductible plus the $20 copay at the pharmacy, and you spent $70 or more, and you do that for four children over a whole winter, then you probably spent several hundred dollars. You may disagree with that, but I think there is some truth to that. Plus, you expose yourself to other germs when you're in the doctor's office, all those sick kids coughing and touching everything. Sometimes that's not the best way to go. Number two, and this one's common sense, of course, as all these are, I guess, but practice preventive medicine. Make sure that your house is a safe environment. You know, if there's a sharp object in the yard, then move that so nobody steps on it and gets cut. If a stair is loose, then fix it. If there is, well, you see the point. Preventive medicine also includes, of course, eating a healthy diet, getting plenty of rest, drinking fluids, all the common things, losing weight, emphasizing vitamins if that needs to be, if that's an issue with the children. Yes. You're right about that. It hurts you in several ways, doesn't it? But number one, it costs more than if you'd just gone home and cooked something. But number two, there's very little you can get at fast food that's healthy at all. You're right. I understand. Yeah, that's exactly right. We make choices, and sometimes we take the easy way out, which when we're tired is easier to go through a drive-through. And all of us do that sometimes, but eating healthy would certainly need to be, you'd need to take that in consideration.
Sometimes, too, you see so much junk with artificial colors, artificial flavor. We think, okay, I'm saving money by this type of food.
Right.
Spend a little bit more on the good food that you should be eating, then you drop your doctor bills because you don't have as much of the other things. And, I've read along, and I've said this over and over again to people, and I know a lot of people kind of, the artificial sweeteners, all the, the artificial this and that, and then we wonder why we have a lot of cancer. It's not to sound cold or anything because I know it happens.
I understand. Sometimes we're digging our graves with our teeth, So we should be careful what we're putting into our bodies and be educated about it. And I think one thing that he said, I'm not going to try to repeat everything he said. One thing that Eric said was it costs more to eat healthy in some ways, but in the long run, when you compare that to medical bills, then it's a lot cheaper. And I thought that this week. Our kids were sick over the weekend, and I've spent $18 buying some juices and stuff, and I thought $18, and then I thought, well, that would not even touch a doctor's visit, would it? So by comparison, of course, they didn't drink all that this weekend. It'll last for a while, but they were getting dehydrated. And I was trying to find something that they could keep down and would keep them from having to go to the doctor, and they did. So let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. I want to emphasize a passage here that I think is probably familiar to all of us. So while you're turning there, let's think of Proverbs 21:20, which says there's treasure in the house of the wise, but the foolish man spendeth it up. We've mentioned that verse a couple of times as a principle that God's wanting us to pay attention to what he puts into our hands and not just spend it, not just use it. In Proverbs chapter 6, talking about developing a spending plan ahead of time. Sometimes the animals and the instinct that God put into them can provide for us an example. Here you have the smallest or one of the smallest of the animal kingdom. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, verse number 6. consider her ways and be wise. So the main idea here is don't be lazy, and we know this passage. But there's a second, a subplot to this text, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer. When there's something to be gathered, what's the ant doing? Well, the ant's gathering it. When it's cold or frozen over and there's nothing to be had up there above the surface, what's the ant doing in the wintertime? He's eating in the comfort of his home. So there's a contrast there. And you think about the lion, the king of the beast, who feasts today, but tomorrow is going to be hungry again. He doesn't have any mechanism or way to save for tomorrow. And sometimes we can live like the lion. We can go from one feast to the next. I thought about a passage like Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 3, where it says, among other things, there is a time to get. In other words, there's a time to a time in life when we can gather and a time for casting off. And you think about that text that we were studying 2 weeks ago about Joseph being a steward and how that there was going to be a famine in the land, and God revealed that to Pharaoh, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And if you had been one of those Egyptians, let's just say one of the Egyptian farmers, about year number 7, after you've had these bumper crops year after year, everything is going fine, you're flush, and if you had walked into that man and said, what's it going to be like next year? What do you predict for 3 years from now? Oh, they would have thought, well, look, with the history, 7 years of plenty, 3 years from now, we're going to be doing just as well as we are. You know, in 3 to 5 years after that, they were ready to sell themselves as slaves just to get some food to eat, and did in the land of Egypt. They could not have imagined that during those 7 years of plenty. A lot of us are like that. You know, we're in the prime of life. Maybe we just received our education, our degree, and we have bright prospects for a good paycheck and a good career in the future. And maybe we're in that stage of life when we're busy and we're getting promoted and we have, well, it may be that we're talking about finances, but I don't really have to worry about that right now. But don't say that that's not going to be the case in the future, because it may well be like those Egyptians, that things can turn around in a hurry. We hope they don't if they're good for you now. But we should always be prepared for that future eventuality, because riches have, riches have wings. And sometimes we can see just the tail feathers as they fly away from us, because somebody says money talks, but it only says goodbye to me. So sometimes it may be that today is good, but tomorrow we should be prepared for not being as good. So we've talked about that first principle of developing a spending plan. The ant is teaching us to think about tomorrow and make preparations for it. So the first idea is that we should pay attention to our spending and decide how we want to spend it, what it is that God wants us to do. And remember those five things: God first, savings, pay yourself first, remember that principle. 3, your debt, get rid of those debts. These two are the ones we're about to talk about. Taxes. And then lifestyle spending last. If you do that, you'll have healthy finances after a while. It may take a while to get out of the trouble that we're in, but eventually doing that will please God and also put us in strong financial management terms. Now let's talk about getting out of debt. We have touched on this in a previous lesson, but I want to go into it a little bit more in detail with you tonight. Look at Proverbs 3, 27 and 28. Three men were standing around talking about what they hoped people would think of them after they were gone. And one of them said, well, after I'm gone, I hope they'll say he was a good man and he was good to his family and he had good children. Another man said, well, I hope they'll say about me that I was a good businessman. I really built up my company and it turned out to be my vision was ahead of the curve. And a third man says, well, when I'm gone, I hope they'll all say that he owed me a lot of money, you know. There's a lot of people that are going through life about like that. They seem to have as their goal to die having spent everybody else's money and be in as much debt as possible. But that's not the healthy way or the way that God wants us to develop, to use our funds. Proverbs 3, 27 and 28, what does that text say for us, please? There's a principle there. We ought to plan to pay all the debts that we incur. It may be that we have some emergency and we're not able to, but our plan ought always to pay anyone that we owe as Christians and not to leave someone holding a bag that we should have put something in. Someone said it is a lot of fun to get into debt, but it is pure misery to get out of it. Have you ever experienced that or know someone who's been through that down that road? It's easy to get in debt, isn't it? Free credit, easy credit all around us. And sometimes by the time we get out of college, we've already racked up quite a debt just in college loans. And then often on top of that, there will be credit card loans already, credit card bills already building up during those college years. And then when a couple gets married, often that may shoot up in the first year of marriage such that I read somewhere that, let's see, this is from the Bank of America website. Just a few facts I thought were interesting. 40% of American families spend more than they earn annually. The average personal wealth of a 50-year-old, including equity, is $40,000. Isn't that something? Work all your life, get to 50, and if you sold your house and liquidated everything you had, your net worth would be $40,000. Speaking of credit, there are 1.2 billion credit cards in use in the United States. The average per household debt, not including mortgage, is $14,500. Typical family pays $1,200 in credit card interest per year. 1 in 73 filed bankruptcy on average in a year. We receive this one. Average credit card cost, if you pay for something with a credit card versus paying for it with cash, costs you 112% more than if you had used cash. Now think about that. If you take $1,000 debt on a credit card, pay the 2% minimum, it will take you, okay, Mike, you can't answer this because this is your field, you'll know the answer, but I won't let the rest of us guess. If you paid the minimum on $1,000 debt every time it was due, how many years before you paid off $1,000? 14 here, I heard somebody back here. 40 years. 22 years. And guess how much you would have paid for that $1,000? $3,300 for the $1,000 you borrowed and paid the minimum on over the long as it took to pay it. Well, that doesn't sound like very good. It doesn't sound very smart when you say it that way, does it? But it sounds a whole lot smarter when, oh, you want a credit card? We'll give you a credit card. You want to use it? Here, we'll take it. And then it's easy to rack up $1,000, really easy. And then it may be the minimum is all that a person pays, and they don't know they're paying that for that length of time. All right. I want to come back to credit cards in a minute, but let's talk about a couple other things. How to get out of debt. Number one, stop using credit cards. And checks. There are two reasons for that. One is because it's easier to psychologically to spend money. We talked about that recently. It's easier to spend money if you don't have to spend money. If you give them plastic or you write a piece of paper, give it to them. Most people don't find that easier to do than actually giving cash. The second reason to use cash is what? Instead of a credit card. When you run out, you're out. That's the whole point. So you got to quit spending. If you make it a rule, if I'm in debt, I've got myself in debt, how did I get in debt? It probably wasn't from just spending cash. Probably was credit cards and checks. Well, if I'm going to get out of debt, it makes sense to stop doing what got me into it and then start paying cash. And then when I run out of money, I just don't spend anything until I have some more money to spend. So number one, stop using credit cards and checks. Let me go ahead and talk a little bit more about credit cards on that point. Number one, don't use credit cards for consumables. meaning meals or vacations, things that are used up and you don't have anything to show for it. Pay off the highest rate debts first on your credit cards. You have more than one credit card, then pay off the one that's charging you the most first. Pay the minimum on the others until you finish off paying off that one. And then apply all of that you've been applying to that most expensive one, to the second most expensive one. Pay it off. When you pay it off, move down the line to the next. Be careful against borrowing against your home or your retirement account. How am I going to get out of debt? Number one, stop using credit cards. Start using cash. Number two, move to a less expensive home or house. You say, well, that's pretty drastic. It's pretty drastic to be in debt all your life. What's the number one expenditure on the budget? For most people, it's the house. If I bought too much house and I can't get out from under this mortgage, if I can sell it, that may be a difficulty in this economy, and move to a cheaper one, save $500 a month on mortgage, then I may just be able to apply that $500 to the debt and get out of it relatively quickly and then move, if I need to, into a different house later. Number three, give up one vehicle. Might not be possible, but that alone might be enough to tip it back in the other direction. Number four, get a better price on insurance. Not something that's not reliable, but there are good reliable companies, and that is you can get competitive rates. You may be able to save a few hundred dollars a year, maybe more, if you have, you know, several different policies to look at. Number five, forego clothing purchases for 12 months. For most of us guys, that wouldn't really matter. We don't want to go buy any clothes this next 12 months anyway. You might not be able to do that if you have children that are growing. They may outgrow their clothes. But make a rule that we're not going to pay more than half price for anything that we buy for the next 12 months. And then be the first one in line at 5 o'clock in the morning when those half price sales are, so you can get them and not break your rule. You'll say you could save, depending on how much your budget that is, it might add up with some of the others to be substantial. Drop your landline, number six, or your cell, or both, and use Skype for a while. And just think, you won't have to get any telemarketing calls then. Number seven, drop your cable or satellite TV. Oh, I couldn't do that. It hurts to get out of debt. Number eight, save on utility bills. We talked about that one night. We talked about light bulbs. We didn't talk about the temperature, though. I did a little research on the temperature. I had Luke do some research on temperature. But you know that if you lower or raise your, according to what time of year it is, if you change your temperature 1 degree for 8 hours, it equals 1% of your monthly bill over a month. Well, you do it, Alabama Power recommends 78 and 68. 78 in the summer, 68 in the winter. And most of us probably would feel uncomfortable at those temperatures at times, but it might be that we could save, I figured it up one time, you save, seems like it's $54 a month you can save in because it depends on the size of your house and what your power bill is, but you could save, you know, maybe several hundred dollars in a year just by adjusting temperature. Fixing windows and doors where air's getting out, what about your two, when it comes to water, your two biggest uses are flushing and baths, so make sure that the toilet's not running all the time. Make sure that you get in and out of the shower faster than, there are things you can do. Number nine, stop eating out. I think we've touched on that one. Number 10, pay off highest interest credit cards first, or debts first. Some of them may not be credit cards. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 14. It may be on the same page where you are. I wrote down the wrong reference. Someone look up, if you've got a search on your phone, look up oxen and find the verse that says, where no oxen is, the stall is clean. Find that verse. I'd like for us to read that, because there's a good principle here about getting out of debt. While you're doing that, someone will find that for us. Maybe Grad has a Bible program on that computer back there. that's it. I wrote down the wrong way. Proverbs 14:4 instead of 4:14. Thank you. 14:4. We did a whole lesson on this a few years ago. It probably is on the website somewhere if you wanted to study it further. But look at Proverbs 14, verse 4. You say, well, these are hard things to do. Well, how do you get out of debt? How do you get in debt? Easy. How do you get out? Hard. So, Proverbs 14, 4 says, where no oxen are, what? But by much increase, or rather, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. What does that say to you? I know we don't really live in an agricultural economy anymore, but does that connect with you on any level? Do you see what the wise man is saying? He's saying, you don't like the way the barn smells. You don't like to go out there and clean out the stall. But guess what? If you don't have the animal in the stall, you're not going to have any increase. The principle is, it hurts to get out of debt, but you got to put up with it for a while. That's the principle of Proverbs 14, verse 4. Just put up with it. It may be something that will only have to be temporary depending on how deep in debt you are and how much money you have coming in versus how much you have to pay. But it may be a fairly lengthy process. All right, let's talk about... anyone have any comments or questions about what we've studied so far tonight? No, let's go ahead and touch on that. Okay.
Well, and we've seen this, it will definitely provide an incentive for them to get scholarships.
Okay.
Work a little harder in high school. And I fully believe that they should have a debt associated with their education when they get out of college if they don't get the scholarships. Because, and I know nobody's going to buy into this because everybody says you're going to provide education. Mm-hmm. When they get out of college, I really do. Mm-hmm. Because they learn more about life that way when they're saddled with the debt right off the bat than anything I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's disagreement, and my way's not necessarily right.
Yeah, but that's good to have that pointed out because you've been, it's a lot better for someone who's been down the road and it's worked than someone who says this is a good idea that hasn't tried it. So. I know that there are different philosophies in here. Some, my parents were sort of a half and half. They paid part of our education, and then we paid part of. I came out with some education loans out of school, but I didn't get them until my senior year. I was almost through before, so I went to preacher school, and the Brotherhood sent supported me those 2 years. So I just had 2 years before graduate school. Right. Okay.
I didn't think
yeah. Well, I think every family needs to make that decision, some combination. Sometimes families just aren't able to do it, and so, they'll say, well, we'll help this much, but you'll need to get the rest of it. And I think what you're saying is, and that's definitely true, probably with most of us, it's easier to spend mom and dad's money than it is to spend the money that I had to make the hard way. So sometimes we can enable bad spending habits by giving them more, giving them an easy way. So let them learn about financial management by earning it and spending it. That's good.
My mom had told me when I was approaching college age that she would pay for one degree, which my grandparents had paid for, which that was the money she was talking about. But if I
So that's good. Some stipulations. What we're hearing here is it may be that you choose to pay your children to go to college. It may be that you want to tell them up front you need to get good grades to get a scholarship because I'm not going to pay. Or you may want to say, here's some money to use for college, and you're going to have to earn the rest of it and start that early so they can learn financial management. And then put some stipulations on that money. I expect your grades to be such. I don't expect you to change your major. You know, they're not going to pay for this forever. So those are all, I think, good comments that relate to the budget. And I see the little ones about to come in. So let's dismiss this part of our study with a prayer, please.